to start recording in 3, 2, 1, and we're up! Welcome to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, brought to you by Go Wild. Go check out Go Wild today. We are in a hotel room on a couch. I'm in a chair. Garrett is back again, DIY Sportsman, and we're sitting here with Cody DeQuisto of Lone Wolf Custom Gear, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Lone Wolf Custom Gear. And they got a new product line out, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Ins and outs. I got Garrett on here because he's really detail and technical oriented, and he's going to ask some questions if I forget some. And we're basically going to break down this new product line that they have. And, you know, the cat's out of the bag already. I'm not going to, you know, get into an introduction here because social media and the people who want to follow it are already following it, you know, because of social media. So I'm just going to honestly jump right into the first question, and that is, why did you guys decide to do this now? I mean, why this timing?
That's a good question. I think so. I guess all the pieces sort of just kind of fell into place this year.
Yeah.
So, you know, with the fact that we always retain the name brand Lone Wolf, we always planned on doing other products.
Yeah.
So we always had a camera in the in the pipeline that things were getting worked on, and ground blinds and a lot of different products. And I think it was this past year, doing the innovation for XOP, and is great, but it's one of those things where we have to make a product for the masses.
Yeah.
You know, so if we start getting too mobile orientated, or if we start getting too comfortable, we all of a sudden lose this. It just sucks having to please everybody.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, it was like one day we were just kind of like, you know, we had the camera coming out, you know, we had been working on that for quite a while now. And we had some conversations with Dart and Archery, you know, to bring out the bow, and it was like, you know, it's time to do a mobile specific setup.
Yeah.
Like, there hasn't been that sort of innovation since, like, when Dad first came. I mean, when back in the day, pre-2006, when he was really, like cranking out new stuff, you know? So we were just really eager. I wanted to see the ideas that I had, that Dad and I have been discussing, you know, collectively for the years, just come to life, and a tree stand that catered to the people, you know, like he and I hunt.
Yeah. And so the timing as far as the entire product line and then the creation of Lone Wolf Custom Gear, is that because the timing of all the products have reached a, like, okay, now we're happy with where everything is at and now we can launch them?
I don't understand.
Okay, so the question is, like, I mean, you guys have been tinkering with, I mean, something like this doesn't just take overnight to design. And I'm pointing at the new tree stand. And, you know, getting a trail camera up and running doesn't, you know,
take
overnight. So all the entire product line itself, right, the trail camera, the tree stand, you have arrows that are coming out. I mean, from a timing standpoint, did you have this, like, this year, like a year ago, saying we're going to launch in 2019, or was it just, okay, the products are ready, now we can launch?
No, we sort of had it in the pipeline. So we definitely were at ATA last year, kind of, you know, scoping some things out, you know, always, you know, the type of person I am too, into the bottom line, like anytime I'm hunting, I'm just thinking, like, man, how the hell could I do this easier? Or I need to change this. So all that stuff is just constantly accumulated. So it was being implemented in custom stands that, like, I had been using for the past year. So, yeah. I mean, I have old, original like Lone Wolf castings that, that dad did back in the early 90s, like with the straight rungs that were super light and they were actually like sand cast. I got the first models when he first released in like 2004, that 8 pound assault, like the first ever assault that I've chopped, and they're like, Byron calls them Frankensteins. Like they're these little like things where I gadget with and I toy with and I grind on and I cut things out. So I'm always like, it's always in mind. So like when it was like, okay, it's time to bring the stand, like that stand was essentially in my truck that I'd been using. You know, I mean, I use XOPs and these stands are my babies. Like those sit in the front seat with me when I drive places. Like, you know, it's, you know, I use those for the missions. And, so to design this, yes, it did take some field testing and a lot of trial and error to get like everything on point, but so much of the work was done already and it's always being done. So I think it was and with my background in tree stands and dad's extensive background in tree stands, it's like, it just flows and rolls out. You know, it's, we know what needs to happen and we implement it in design.
Yeah. Okay. So the designs, as far as the tree stand is concerned, are, you know, they all come to a head. Now you've come to a point where I guess your guys' bread and butter is tree stands, right? You guys are known for tree stands. Now, why arrows? Why trail cameras? Why get more complicated as opposed to just sticking with a tree stand?
Dude, Dan, that is an awesome question.
Yeah.
And it is exactly the same story of why Dad invented and designed the original Lone Wolf back in the 80s.
Yeah.
He was upset with the equipment he was using, and he thought that everything out there was subpar. And not that I'm saying there's not good stuff out there, but Dad and I have had a lot of bad experiences with trail cameras.
Yeah.
I mean, we've used a lot of them ever since back in when Whitetail Addictions was around.
Yeah.
Trail camera sponsors we had versus stuff that I had purchased, you know, that we'd... And not that, like, we were literally going out and tried everything on the market, but just a lot of common problems, and we just knew what we wanted to see in a trail camera. And when we designed it, it was more so like, okay, how can we design a tool for hunting, not like some, like, gadget? I feel like, you know, although we got good megapixels and good, like, video quality and stuff, it's, I feel like everybody gets wrapped up into the, well, my camera's got 10,000 megapixels and it fits in my freaking crotch pocket or whatever. So like we were just more so trying to design something that was super easy to use, user friendly. We wouldn't have to jam sticks in a level. We wouldn't have to, you know, weasel around with little twigs to pop a battery card out. We wouldn't deal with opening a door and batteries just freaking falling in the CRP grass and looking for them. It was just, so a lot of little imperfections we were unimpressed with. And, you know, we've designed a camera we want to use now.
Yeah.
It's always like, you know, like that stand that I Frankensteined up. It's like, well, at the time, I was doing that for me. I mean, like, yeah, I could have grabbed an XOP or I could have, you know, grabbed an old Lone Wolf that I had, but like, it wasn't good enough for me. It wasn't getting the job done. So ultimately, like, you know, we designed this product because we want to use them. The arrow to that point. So the arrow is Dad's brainchild, right? So many years ago, he shot a, I'm trying to think, he shot a deer, and I can't do the story justice, and down the road when he's on the podcast, he could probably tell a little better, but it's just one of those things that every hunter can relate to. You get that bad shot, and you're sitting up in the tree stand, and, you know, you're thinking to yourself, shit, what the hell happened? What did I do? Did I not anchor right? You know, but no matter what's going through your mind and what you think of, it always ends with sitting in the tree stand like, fuck, I hope I got blood.
Yeah.
Like, I hope there's blood on the ground so I can track this deer. You know, I've shot deer like that. Dad has shot many a deer like that. You get that bad hit or that arrow, you know, it might even be in them. And I've tracked deer that we lost that were dead. Yeah. I mean, they were dead, man. I seen the hit. It went straight, you know, way in the back. But for some reason, that arrow stuck in him. Mm-hmm. He didn't bleed. He got too far. We lost the blood.
Yep.
You know, can't get dogs. So it's just another one of those things that, like, you know, we've seen a problem and we wanted to sort of, like, you know, come up with a solution.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So you got I guess now you're out, right? You got the products, you got the, and you mentioned something about a ground blind, but I didn't see a ground blind at the booth today.
That's just something that we've kind of always had in the works.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Like those are stuff that we still even, you know, are fidgeting with that, you know, is probably, you know, to come as soon as we kind of focus on that portion of it. But we've never really been ground blind hunters, but like that's an avenue where Dad is just a very creative mind, and he came up with some ideas, you know, from turkey hunting and utilizing different blinds that, you know, for a more efficient setup and more of a mobile type hunting. Like now me, I won't hunt out of blind. I refuse to. I just don't like it. I don't like being closed in and stuff, but I can still, you know, as far as, you know, diving into it, you know, I don't feel like I almost have that connection with a blind like I do a tree stand. So that's probably the reason why the blind isn't around. You know, it's one of those things where we're like, we think we got good ideas for blind. Maybe they'd be horrible. Who knows? You know, so.
Yeah. And that's just because that's not how you hunt.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
It kind of seems to me like, you know, maybe the tree stand, the sticks, those are the big things that come out first, right? But there's always things that whatever you guys used in your system, you have ideas in your head about how it would work best for your system. And ultimately, those are kind of the products that you're going to push out.
Oh, yeah. Yep, exactly. It's just a, you know, just a kind of constant revolving deal where you just thinking of tweaks, you know, trying to make stuff better, be more efficient. And
all right. So we got the tree stand right here in front of us. Why don't you do the best job that you can, because this is audio, right? Break this tree stand down with us and, I guess, talk a little bit about the specs of it, some of the functionality of it. And I know we have a prototype in front of us, but there's a lot of other things with this particular stand that, I think this one doesn't have a coating on it.
Nope.
Right? A quiet coating. So break it down real quick for us.
Okay. So essentially what we have here is it's a run and gun style hang on that is a final hunt weight of 7.5 pounds. So like that's the legit weight, no bullshit. Yeah. You know, there will be a rope mod for it, and there will also be a belt. So, you know, same thing with the sticks. A guy can pick, you know, along with Lone Wolf Custom Gear, we kind of wanted to give, like, upon buying this, you'll get that sort of customized experience and be able to kind of deck this out. So I just want to throw that in there before I get started. But so 7.5 pounds, you know, the great thing is we didn't sacrifice platform room or like seat room with this. It's not extremely small. Like the platform is still 28 inches long and it's still 19 inches wide. Like it's not, the run configuration is different. It is made from solid material, 6061 aluminum. It's made in America. It's just a very strong alloy. It's stronger than casting because it's never in a liquid state. You know, it's like, it's made from solid material. So, so with that being said, you got the platform room. We got this, not as tight of a V-taper in the back as like you'd see with the XOP or like the original Assault, and not quite as wide you see as like a standard V. So it kind of hits that middle ground. A big feature about the teeth themselves. So it's a patented design. We call it like a reverse tooth technology. So typically, on the original designs of Dad's and the XOPs and stuff, they all have a one-angled tooth. Like, they angle in one direction, you know, so it always allowed for you to cam that stand in. You lift that platform up, cam it in, it gets nice and tight. Well, with this new tooth design, that's really not even necessary. So it actually has a backdraft under the bottom teeth that'll allow that thing to sink down without that procedure. Now, you can do it if you want, but that combined with this new 6-point offset bracket with the micro teeth and, you know, even this too for added stability, this offset bracket now is much like an XOP with 6 teeth, but it has the micro teeth in there for even like extreme grip. Like when these teeth dig in and max out, you have secondary teeth that come along. And I mean,
once you get past the bark.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That, I mean, this thing ain't slipping, you know, and you can see even the added structure for any sort of, being that this thing has so much leveling capability, we had to beef this up and actually had to add structure out to the, in front of the center support, just so when you get on extreme crooked trees, you're not twisting this support system. So if you can tell too, everything is even implemented. If you look at the design of this center support system, you can see how back where the pressure's lighter, you got thinner rungs. And look at, as you get up here, you know, that comes from testing. That comes from knowing what the hell is happening with the stand. So, like I said, this is like the probably the 14th model, but you know, it's beefed up where it needs to be to have that and handle that added twist up there because of the increased offset capability. Not only that, we added more leveling slots in there. Mm-hmm. So you know, it was they were always adequate, but shit, why not add more?
Yeah.
Why not get more accommodation? So now you got more accommodation to level, and this thing really, really leans back very far. So you got, I mean, that's you got quite a bit there than you did from the other models. We did things like integrate bow toe rope cleats on here. Mm-hmm. So now, when I, you know, my vision for this and how I had my other stand hung up and how, you know, I was hunting every day. You know, I like to get up the tree in one shot, yeah. And I like to be systematic about it. So what I do now with this is, you know, you can get 25 foot of paracord on here, on these cleats, right? So what I've been doing is, you know, you get there, I drop my bow in my pack, and then I immediately take off the paracord and just leave it in a coil. That way I can get up the tree and then just pull my shit up at the end.
Yeah.
And I can get into that later as far as specifics. But so you got the paracord cleats. You also have in production too. This one's missing. It has another cleat in the center because these then act as pack hangers, which I'll show you why. So the great thing, the hands down best feature about this stand is right here. When you fold this up, these seat interlocks, and this is patented as well, interlocks into the casting, and it actually turns your tree stand into a frame pack. So you can put. I mean, you could sit on the back of there, Dan, and we can march around if we wanted to. I mean, this thing ain't going anywhere. It's a frame pack now.
Yeah.
So in
one second, I just want to explain that
what's happening.
Well, yeah, what's happening? Just from visual, is that basically the seat of the stand has now been flipped up. There's some cleats in the back part of the seat that are inserted into the platform of the casting, and now that seat doesn't fold down, and it. It's like a shelf.
Yep. It's a shelf for anything you want to pack. So camera gear, extra clothes. And the important thing is it's hard not to jump around, but all this works in unison. So now, I mean, just to jump real quick to the stick folds down unlike any other stick you know and goes to a 3/4 inch profile. So why this helps you with this frame style, it all goes hand in hand. Now, this doesn't have the plugs in it right now because it's the prototype model. We took those out for the ones at the show. But these sticks stack flush to your stand. Now, you end up, even with three on each side, which is six total in these ports, you end up with a flush surface and a shelf to put your equipment. Nothing is rolling over a bulky set of sticks centered. Nothing is having to be loose or clanging around. These sticks press into the tree stand. There's polyurethane grommets pressed into each stick. So they're very tight. They press into the ports, and they all stack together like Legos. So you actually take those and you stick them in those ports. And then back to what I was saying before about getting up in the tree with one shot, you can actually take that stick and slide it down and use the bottom port. So now when you get to the tree, I put on two sticks at the base, then I go my way up. My one and only final descent, I can reach back around, pull the stick off my stand, set it on the tree. Continue up, pull the stick off my stand, set it on the tree. I set my stand, and then I pull my whole shit up. I pull my bow, I pull my pack up all at once.
It's like a built-in, what are those things called, Garrett, that clip on the back of the tree stands?
Stick talons.
Yeah, so it's like a built-in stick talon.
Yeah, it kind of is.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so, sort of in that sense, yep. So, to get away from the stick then, so this definitely is a great feature. We've tested it with a lot of weight. We've put quarters and stuff on there, dumbbells, you know, different size packs and variations, and it's definitely pretty strong, and it definitely, provides a really efficient way to transport.
Yeah.
Along with that, would you guys also be offering a shoulder and hip belt?
Oh yeah. So that's the one thing that we were kind of upset about that we didn't have at the show. So this stand will come with a deluxe. You know, being that this does, you know, we're claim, you know, essentially goes into a frame pack. We have a very heavy duty set of shoulder straps that will come with the stand, sternum connection, and then an optional heavy duty waist strap. So, with also accessory on that. So that we don't have yet. It's still in the processing stages, but that will come with the stand. they'll be customizing options like color. You know, we have, we'll probably end up doing three colors. So when you, you know, order your stand, you can pick which color you want. You mentioned the soft touch. This doesn't have it right here that we're looking at, but, or silent touch, as we call it. It's a, like, very super thin rubberized coating that is sprayed over the entire stand, everything. Yeah. So it really minimizes, like, vibration and noise of the material. Also is provides an awesome feel for your hands and grip. Along that sense, all through the stand, there's integrated portions where there's machine gripping points in there. So along with that soft grip, so like, you know, there's those machine grooves for your fingers there for carrying the stand when it's like this. When you're manhandling the stand to hang it, you have finger grooves right there to hold it better. Same thing when you're climbing up the sticks. The whole stick is machined with grooves so you can grasp the tube with comfort and not really grasp the step. Not that you can't. It's got a roomy, a way more roomy step bed than any step out there now. It's got a 5/8 inch flat that really acts as a nice like handlebar almost. But you know, just for the option of climbing.
So I mean, you're talking about, you really broke this down. I mean, I mean, nobody's gonna put finger grips on anything, you know, like, like we got finger grips here. We got, you know, different, you know, like you said, like you broke down the stick, and that's pretty, interesting.
Even things such as this, like little things that people don't see, but like that I think about every day, because so when this seat goes down, right, you know, one of the first things was, dude, how do we efficiently pack all different types of stuff, you know, and that's where this came from, whatever. But the simplest thing of like this, like, so, you know, when you, I'm sure you know from setting up the lone wolf or when you got sticks on it, but I'm not sure how you run your belt, but I'm very systematic in the way I run my belts, and I like them a certain way, and I like them efficient so I can get them off and get them on and be quick in and out. And I always ran my belt around like the ears of the stand, if you will, and back to the button. Mm-hmm. Well, I fucking hated putting it to the button. So I always put it to the leveling knob.
Yep.
Well, that's pretty half-assed. So now we have, like, these in the actual model are big T's. So there's two big T's that come out of the stand specifically to strap your stand so it's super quick. You come around, you're not having to do this whole deal, put it around the button, push it back down. Like, a lot of little things that really pissed me off, you know, I kind of, you know, addressed. And
let me ask you this. With all these little things that you're talking about, How did you come up with that? Did you just sit there and spend like a day putting sticks on a stand and tying them up, or is this all through going out hunting, tearing up, setting down, tearing up, setting down, tearing up?
It's both, hands down. So, you know, Dad and I will be you know, hunting constantly, obviously, and then, you know, we you know, meet, you know, at a table, you know, we're sketching out designs, you know, talking about some stuff. We know the problems. So it's sort of like a, you know, just like a meeting of the minds. All right, man, how do we make these sticks stay? How do we do this? Well, we could do it like this. We could do it like that. Oh, that seems good. Let's try it. Hunt with it for a day or somehow get a prototype made. Nope, that shit doesn't work. Go back to the table. You know, okay, let's see what, I liked how the sticks did this, but man, we got to keep them all together. I'm like, you know what, you know, maybe, okay, let's try it. Nah, it's too bulky. Well, what if we put two sticks on one side and two sticks on the other side? Basically. Like, you know, like, will that work? You know, no, that won't work. You know, guys will get pissed because they can't all be together.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's
continuous
constant
research and development.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just constant going back and forth, and he'll come up with an idea, and I'll be like, oh, yeah, that's good. And then, like, you know, I'll feed off that idea, and then, oh, yeah, then we can have it do this. It's just it's a really good collaboration. And, you know, we have a pole in our basement that, like, we're just down there messing with stands on. Like, it's, you know, it's down there. It's like one of the old beams in the basement with a bunch of like half rounded logs on it. And we're testing it, and we're getting on there, and we're jumping on it, and we're testing how it grabs, and we're looking at like where the rungs need to be, and a lot of that stuff. And, you know, testing like the teeth and how it sit or how it bites. And, you know, and then you get these things and you work them out on like a slick pole, and then you get them on this tree, and like you just got this, you know, idea of performance. And well, let's move the cables back a half inch. Let's move them back another half inch. Let's see how far we can go before it becomes a problem, and let's find the sweet spot. You know, to whereas you know, maybe somebody might just be like, all right, we'll slap the cable there. It doesn't matter. I know, like, you know, prime, like even little things like this, it's crazy, but, you know, Dad and I were like arguing back and forth about the cable spot, like, and it was over a half inch. And then some, and then, you know, one of our buddies that was there was like, literally like, who gives a shit? Put it either spot. It's a half inch. Nobody is gonna say, I got a quarter inch less of foot room right here because this cable's right there. And we were like, yeah, you're probably right. All right, fuck it. We'll flip a coin. You know. So it's I think it's just a constant game of just looking into things and trying to come up with.
So long story short, this is like what I'm sitting here maybe at the ATA show, and that's what, you know, you're showing people right now, but it's probably not the end tree stand.
Oh, and that's I wouldn't say that. I mean, well, don't get me wrong, you mean like down the road?
Like, I mean, as like far as the next model? I mean, you guys are so anal retentive about your products, right? And the design, that, you know, you might have this upcoming year, you might be going into the woods, setting up your tree stand, like, oh my god,
yeah,
I gotta do this.
Damn it. Yeah, well, yeah, and that very well might happen. But I think that we got pretty damn close with this one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you know, still walking that line of, it's so hard to know what everybody wants.
Yeah.
But walking that line of, okay, we can't make a stand that's unusable. You know, because a lot of guys preach like they want super, super, super light, super light. But how bad do you want that super light? Why are you even taking a stand then? Go stand on a freaking limb. Or so it's a lot of things that go into it. So I really think we got the literally the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
I think what was most surprising to me, I think once the hype for this started coming out, I think a lot of people expected that you were going to shave pounds off of the system, several pounds. Which you guys did, but I don't think a lot of guys also expected was all the small things that you really have to get it in your hands to be able to see, like, oh yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and we literally had that same conversation. It was like, okay, well, we could have made an 8.5-9 pound stand just to undercut everybody, cast aluminum, same thing what we've been doing with our eyes closed, and not did a damn thing extra. And just made a light stand. I wanted to do that with XLP, but it was one of those deals where we needed to like cover that. We wanted that 350-pound weight rating and these big seats for these bigger guys who wanted to be mobile, and it just wasn't in the cards. So, but then it's like, you know, if you're gonna do it, you know, well, why do it half-assed? You know, I mean, well, there was so much stuff that we wanted to do, so it just sort of honestly it took on a mind of its own too.
Yeah.
So I think a little bit of both happens.
All right. So. You mentioned something about weight rating. What's this going to go? I mean,
this is going to go 300 pounds. Okay. Now, we always do test to a 5-time safety factor, but just to be on the safe side, we're going to go 300 pounds. We're not going to try and, you know, end the world with like some crazy 400-pound weight rating, and we're not going to say like, oh, well, this is for those 150-pound guys. So
I don't know one mobile hunter who's 400 pounds.
Like. Well, you'd be yeah, I suppose. That's a good point.
Unless he's like 6'8".
Yeah, dude, I've seen some big boys, man. Some that you'd swear couldn't even get on these stands, and they're like, oh, I love them, man. I love them. And,
Garrett, any other technical questions that you can think of?
So, I mean, the big thing that strikes me initially when I first look at the stand that makes it, I think, a lot different than anything we've seen before is in the past, everything has been cast, right? So when I look at the stand, and especially like where the seat post connects to the platform, right? We don't have those ears that has been in every other tree stand pretty much ever seen to this point, right? It's just flat, and I imagine that's a consequence of being able to use whatever machine stock you're going to start with.
Yep. Well, see, and that's like, so this is where the old man is a different breed. So like a typical person would look at that and say, okay, you know, we're going to cut this platform out of a sheet of stock, and then we're going to make a bracket that serves as ears for our center support. He's like, no, nuh-uh. A lot of development went into that tube for the clearances. He doesn't only think of efficient function and use. He thinks of manufacturing costs. He thinks of how the things are going to be assembled. He thinks of, like, it's everything, man. He's diving into all that at once to where I'm like, I need to hunt out of this. I need to make it like this. You know, I got these ideas. And he's like, all right, well, this center support's going to jog and it's going to backstep, so we don't have to create this part. We don't have to utilize these washers. We can drill in from this side. They can do a jig to fix this. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds good, man. That's fucking, that shit's right.
In one ear, out the other.
Yeah, I mean, and I have a bit of mechanical background myself, but it's the things that it's like another reason that makes us a great team. You know, it's like, you know, over the years, like I think, you know, I've been pushing the mobile strategy, I think, even beyond the limits that, you know, they were back in the day. And I mean, they, and I think a lot of guys are now, like, they're just, it's coming back. And I don't ever remember a time I wasn't mobile.
Yeah.
And it was all because of him. But I think, like, you know, it's great because, like, even this has sparked even more of a, like, insane between us, like, you know, yeah, the way we're hunting, even getting us more mobile to test these things and more of that fashion. So, yeah, to the point, like you said, yeah, it is. That's the first difference you look. It's all one plane. There's no difference in heights. There's, but I did think it, you know, it ended up really cool. Even the seat, you know, there's no ears on that seat. That's all one dimension, you know, and even as far as, like, you know, you get into stuff like freight. Well, shipping tree stands is expensive. Not this one. This one ain't going to be that expensive, you know, not with the low profile of sticks. The, yeah. A lot of things go into the process of, and that's last beyond, you know, by no means is that up in the front. But when you can accommodate all those things and you can start thinking beyond, you know, and outside the box on the different contact points, even if you even look in this thing, there's machined grooves for the washers to sit in. I mean, you know, attention to detail is one thing. Like, we could have made that straight and just had the center just a hair thinner or the opening just a hair wider, but to take the time and machine those grooves so that washer sits perfect, you know, and yeah, and the bolt goes through there perfect, and the access hole right here that has to go in for us to drill that hole, like, it's just, there's a lot of stuff that was broken down and yeah, thought of, you know.
All right, so everybody, I mean, you got a unique product here, right? It's innovative, whatnot. What's the cost going to be?
So, I don't think we have the final cost, but this stand is probably going to be somewhere around, like, probably $450.
Okay.
Yep. All right. So, it's higher end. You know, it's definitely – but with that being said, this ain't that stand that you're going to outfit your property with. You know, this is your baby. This is – you're going to have one of these, and it's going to be worth it.
Yeah.
Even, like, these sticks, too, man. Just the profile saving of the sticks, the fact that there is no bulky V-bracket to worry about. You don't have to stick them off. They're not catching anything. The fact that they pivot down, the fact that they mount on each other flush, and that they go onto the stand with a lower profile, and, you know, the sticks being light and the stand being light is great, and it's so much weight savings. But what you don't realize, or what most people don't realize, is that, well, just the configuration of how these stands line up make it even feel lighter than it is once it's on your back, because you're not protruding off, yeah, far.
It's closer to your body.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you know, like with the, you know, a standard sticks or the conventional way of stacking the lone wolves for the XLPs, you know, you just get farther and farther, and it's like this lever just pulling down your body. Yeah. So a lot of guys started laying them flat and doing all that deal. Well, even when you lay those flat, you can't get them anywhere near as flat as 3/4 inch off the platform. So, I mean, like, man, I wish, like, you put this thing on your back, set up, pack everything. I mean, even, you know, we went, man, we were hiking around for hours one day with those capes on it. Capes, weights, full gear, just going up hills, going down hills with the testing out backpack straps and making sure that, you know, there's the right, you know, sternum straps so they're not slipping off rods, or just, yeah, even those, we're going to do those right. We're going to try and do everything right, you know, just because, you know, my goal with this too was to have it be a system, a customizable system, but to where when a guy orders this, he gets his setup and he is ready to rock. Yeah. He doesn't got to paracord anything. He doesn't have to do. And I know, no offense, but that's what you guys are about. I mean, everybody's about that. We're all techie. But I wanted this to be like a guy could go on the site, pick his deal, pick, okay, I want to do the minis, I want to do a 4-pack of minis, you know, you buy the sticks individually or whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay, 4-pack of minis, I want OD green paracord on my thing, you know, with, 25 foot of that, and I want, you know, I want my stand tan, you know, I'm hunting a lot of, like, you know, this or whatever, and that thing gets there in a box, shoulder straps on it, ready to rock. Like,
so you're selling basically a complete system.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yep. Now you can buy just the standard, just the sticks, but, like, you know, there will be that option that maybe a little bit of cost savings buying the whole setup, which is not determined yet. We're gonna try really hard to, in the next 4 to 6 weeks, pump that site with as much information as we can and as much customizing and stuff like that as possible. And we're even gonna break it down, which, man, would be awesome for, like, a guy like you. Like, I want to break this thing down. Like you do on your videos, man. I want to show these guys how high you can get with 6 of the minis, you know, how the, you know, benefits of the rope versus the strap. Like, you know, I want to dive into it, man. I want this to be the mobile setup, you know? Yeah. So
a lot of education yet to come on
the product. Yep. This is just the tip of the iceberg. I think the releasing of the product is, I wanted to let people know it was coming. It's not far off, but I wanted people to get sort of hyped up about it, and also just, you know, I feed off people too. Like, you know, so just people, there's already things, you know, hearing at the show, like, you know, positive feedback, and it's good because that will ultimately change the final product. You know, like you said, you're always tweaking, and you always gotta, you know, kind of change to cater.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So go ahead, Garrett.
You guys offer 2 sizes of the sticks.
Oh yeah,
very much like, you know, it was way back in the day.
Yep. So we did a full length 32. And then we did a mini 17, and man, we messed around with 15s, we messed around with 20s, we messed around with 18s, and it was just like, you know, we don't want to put out these guys, and we don't want to make it, you know, inclimable for these guys. So we decided to settle on 17. The mini's the 17, and the full is the 32. They all have the pressed in bushings. You can integrate. A guy can get 2 full, 2 minis. They can stack just like that on there. These holes are integrated to the 3/4 way on the full length stick, and the full length stick still stacks right on the back of that. And you can still get 6 of them if you want. They just protrude out a little farther up and a little farther down, obviously, than these that are, like, right in the platform.
All right. So what did you use the last time you hunted
with this
on your run and gun?
Yep.
When you went out, what was the last system that you had?
This. With, I was bouncing between 3 and 4 minis.
Okay, so 3 mini sticks to 4 mini sticks, and 1 in your tree stands.
Yep. Gotcha. And then I had my, you know, and I'm the type of guy too, like, every year I'll go through like 10 different packs. They might be the same packs that I've used 10 years in a row, but, like, it's like, I'm always like, there's things I like about this one, there's things I like about that one. And so I was trying fannies with this, I was trying full size packs with this, I was, you know, trying my camera equipment, just trying to get an idea of, like, what it's like to put those different sizes on there. But every time, you know, I was for testing purposes, the foals. I was using 2 foals and 2 minis for a little while, just to, like, okay, check the stability of the foals and, you know, get that stride. But we sort of had that figured out. Yeah. And it was more so like, okay, when we had the minis for Lone Wolf, they were 15 and I hated them. Yeah. They were so tiny that, like, I hated them because it was like I didn't get anywhere, and it was like, they were so small, they were unstable, if that makes any sense. That's what I thought anyway.
Yeah. Some people, I don't even know.
Had the same experience. I had them.
Yes. Yeah,
and so, it was like, you get so crunched up when you're on them. It was like you're hanging 4 feet off the tree. And
exactly. So that was one of the big things where we really wanted to dive into this. I know there's some sticks out there that are like 20. And that's a lot to ask of everybody. I mean, 20 is a big stride. So, you know, we were messing around with that a lot. But, yes, I was using the minis, and I will continue to definitely use the minis now, man. These things are freaking rock solid with these bigger steps. You know, that's the thing. We didn't sacrifice any of the additional features like that we, you know, did with like XOP. We got a longer step. We got the arc in the step. We actually even made the step thicker. We gave you more of a footbed for a comfortable climb. This is still the exact same standoff. This is an added standoff. So, you know, I mean, our, you know, in the innovative process, we wanted to make sure that not only did we get light, but we kept climbability. Even things such as this, you know, people don't realize this, and I don't even think I told anybody this at the show, but it's just little things. But that right there, having the step line up flush with the top and putting traction on there, this is all a step now for your boot when you're on your top step. So it's not a lot, but it's something. I mean, and I use it, and I like it. I don't slip off that. I used to step onto the tubes of the Lone Wolf and the XOP a lot, but yeah, there's that gap there now, and now I can't, you know, so... Or you can, but it's uncomfortable. You know, and the integrated stoppers, I mean, solid material that are, that's not going anywhere ever. So it wasn't about only making it light, but keeping that climbability. Mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, anybody can shorten things up and make things smaller and make it light, but to really dive into the design and test it properly to make sure you got something strong that does have the features that you need and that you want. That was the challenge, you know.
Yeah. Out of curiosity, did you guys ever play around with double steps at all?
I was actually just going to get into that. So I think one of the first comments we got on the stick was like, double step, like just like that. And I hear that all the time. And you
know, is this where you make fun of him?
No,
talking about double steps all day.
This is gonna be the best thing I take out of this conversation, because I want to get your take on double steps. But we were gonna bring it to the show. We do have a double step design. We were gonna bring it, and because I've been hearing that with XOP, and I was like, you know what, we better make a double step. And we decide at the last minute, we were like, you know what? We got so much stuff. Like, let's hold off. Let's see how people take it. We do have a double step.
Garrett Prawl.
Now.
Did you hear that?
The listeners can't hear it, but I was smiling.
But so to that point, though, you know, this was another conversation, like, sort of at the round table, but when we'd always talk about double steps, and I'd be like, you know, the public wants double steps, and Dad.
Since when did you give a shit what the public want?
Well, it's like, see, that's what I'm talking about. Now you gotta, like, you almost gotta account for people's like the request when you get it so often. So, I'm talking. I'm like, you know, and then Dad would be like, why does anybody want a double step? Yeah. And I'm like, you know, everybody says they want it, but I guess I never really dove in. I think now I always thought I've heard, like, okay, it's uncomfortable on the knees, or like standing in the same plane, or so I'm going to be educated here. What is the need for the double step? Not that I'm just saying like we've done it, but like why or what is, are you standing on both top steps? Or are you standing on both bottom? Or is it just so, like to both, have the both. Feature of coming back both ways?
So back in the day when I used the original Lone Wolf sticks, I was single step guy, and I would trash talk the guys using double. Oh, that's actually what you don't need that, right? So until I actually tried a double step, I was like, oh, this actually is kind of nice. Just from a usability standpoint, I think with single steps, what I would often have happen is, you know, I sit at the base of the tree. You sit there for 5 minutes figuring out what tree you want to climb. Once you figure that out, okay, this is the path I'm going to take up the tree. Right, and then maybe you deviate a little bit. I would find myself often climbing up and then saying, okay, I need to actually switch my step around this way. Then on the way back down, I'd have to, like, do a little pull-up and then switch my feet around to be able to make it work, right? So that kind of stuff just got old after a little bit, especially once I started using aiders, it became even more of an issue when I started adding those to my sticks. So it just made it a little bit easier to use. And then the other thing is just kind of, you know, if you're sitting there, you're doing the final hooking the stand on the tree, it's like, yeah, you could stand there staggered, but if you stand there with both feet on a level plane, it just seemed like you got less calf fatigue.
Are you standing on the top or the bottom?
For the actual stand.
When you're hanging the stand.
Usually the bottom. And then I would hook my knees around. So I hook my knees around the top steps too, and then I can almost lean back even without a lineman's belt because I have a little extra stability there.
Yep. That's that's what we almost thought. We were thinking that, okay, you know, guys want to stand on both the stick. And at first, you know, I heard from some customers that they were standing on the top. And I'm thinking, like, ooh, man, like that's like that seems like a no-no to me. Like, I mean, you are pretty damn vulnerable if you're standing on the top of those two steps, hanging a stand with no harm. See, I think that was always the thing, too, like, and this may be taboo, but, like, I don't think I've ever wore a harness setting a stand. ever.
Well, how do you wear? I mean,
dude,
everybody wants a line. You know, hey,
it scares
safety,
me, man.
That's, you got to have that safety line going up. But when you run and gun hunt, you what are you going to do? Go up the tree, hang it, go back down, and then use it to. It's, yeah. No, you don't do that.
Yeah. So I mean, and I've seen guys stand on the top of two steps with their linemans, which at least they're secured. But like, you know, I always had. That sense of security with that stagger because I just drive my crotch into the tree yeah. and I got my leg like just like jammed around the other side. Now to that point, Aiders is a whole different level now. If you're using, then that becomes, and I would always do the old flip. Like you said, I'd go up and it happens quite often that where like my steps aren't the way I want them, but then I just reach down with my other foot and pop them over. Yeah. And then I make sure that, which it is a pain in the ass, but, I get the Aider thing because then wouldn't you have to then take off your Aider and like flip it upside down?
So what usually ends up happening is if you're using the Aider that has like alternating steps, not only would you have to flip your steps over, but if you had your Aider wrapped around your stick, say right here, yep. right, then you can't flip the thing back around.
Oh, you got to, yeah, so you got to take the Aider off right. and then flip it around. Yeah, I definitely get that. I can get that. And that's why we've been, you know, starting to dive into that, and we actually have a cut. A double step cut. The tough thing about that is just
packability
because, you know, trying to keep that beefy step and keep the everything to work the same, it's tough with that point. So then, you know, you start talking about a split step versus a solid step versus, okay, well, does a double step option just work different? Okay, and then we even kicked around the idea of just one double step on the stick to save weight, and if guys are using it on the bottom, well, then, you know, we might be able to make that work with packability and some sort of a different stop system. So a lot of thoughts going into that too, and we got some stuff kicking around that could be I'm not going to say for sure like that's going to be available in like a month, but we definitely have the double step need in mind, and we want to accommodate those people because we do, or I hear it a lot.
All right. Any other questions about the sticks and stands that you can think of, Garrett?
I want to hear, I guess, not specifically related to the product, but how you use the product. And you kind of talked about it a little bit before, but what is your system exactly? So you're not using Aiders, it sounds like.
Nope, no Aiders.
You're hanging your first couple sticks at the bottom. When you get to the base of the tree, what do you do? Describe your process from... Take the stand off the back. Do you take the pack off? Set it aside. What are you kind of doing?
So what I've been doing, you know, especially with this new setup, and I've been timing everything, and just, you know, getting a little techie with it, but just really trying to get a good idea of how it functions, and if I'm happy with it, and I think other people will be happy with it. So, you know, for years I've always just winged it with my sticks. Like if I had branches, I'd hang them on branches. If I needed to jam in my pockets, I'd jam in my pockets. If I, you know, was hanging on my belt loop, I'd do all sorts of that kind of stuff. And then I started making mods, you know, a couple years ago on my stand for holding my sticks, like, yeah. you know, sort of like that. So now with that being said, that kind of sparked the grommet idea and having that trail off far enough to where you can grab it easily. So what I do, I'll have my pack on there, obviously, with one bungee. I carry my bow in my hand. I did experiment with putting my bow on the back of there too, like on the back of the pack, if your pack can hold your bow, and then you don't have anything on your fucking body. Yeah. So then I get to the tree. I take the stand off my back once. I take it off my back. I lay my pack and my bow on the ground, and I hook up the tow rope, and I just unravel it, and I leave it sitting there in a pile, right? I take off my sticks, put the stand back, or take off my sticks, put the two back in the slots lower. So then I got my stand on my back with the two sticks. I put those first two sticks on from the ground. If I think I'm going to be like extremely high, or if I'm really trying to gap that first stick, I'll keep three on the stand, you know, because they plug in like Legos. You can, yep. You just got to be sure then you don't manhandle when you take it apart and you squeeze them. So the other one, you know, in which I thought about integrating another hole for that, but it's like, you know, most of the time guys are using four, and we didn't want to get too crazy with where it was and adding those, because then guys would get confused on where the hole is. So then I put the sticks in there, put the stand back on my back with those sticks in the back. Obviously, like I said, put the first couple on by the ground, or if I'm, you know, if it's one or if it's two. And then I just make my ascent up the tree, reaching back around to grab those sticks as I'm going up. I've never used aiders. I've heard good things about them. I started messing around with them a little bit, like in the yard, just seeing how they felt and coming up with like an idea for that. Like when we talked about making like the ultralight saddle stand, like we were like, okay man, how do we really accommodate these guys? But that's another story. So then I get up, pull my stand off my back. You never have to worry about your tow rope because it's connected to that center support. Hang the stand and then, you know, get it in, and I pull my whole lot up. I pull my bow, I pull my pack up at once. Now I don't use a giant pack, but I mean, you know, if you got the I've used big ones with all my camera gear in it, and you know, you can pull it up pretty easily with that tow rope. And then same thing with going down, I keep that tow rope down, and it's the same thing on the descent. You know, I mean, it is a little tricky finding that in the dark, finding that hole to get them back in there. But most of the time, honestly, like if I'm trying to be quiet, I'll take my time and do that. But other than that, sometimes I hold them, sometimes I drop them. I mean, if I'm really just, if it's the end of the day and I'm just trying to, it all depends on the situation. But on the ascent up, it's super smooth and it's super nice because you can just reach back there and you're able to position all those on the ground before you make the, the climb.
Yeah, I'd say about 90% of the time I just toss the sticks on the way down too.
Oh yeah, I mean you're trying to get down as quick as you can. I mean, yeah. And if you throw those things like with the, especially these, like a lot of times people always with my stand, like I used to drop it on the teeth and it would literally stick in the ground like a knife and it wouldn't make a damn sound. It'd be like fucking stealth mode, and then I'd drop my sticks on the top. And it would literally be like a bunch of knives in the ground, like when it's soft, obviously. Yeah. And everybody's like, you just rifle your shit out of the tree like that? I'm like, yeah, if I'm done with this spot, I'm like leaving. Like, I don't give a fuck what it, you know? I mean, so I'd rather get my shit down there.
I got a wife at home who's already pissed at me. I don't need to take more time getting out of the woods.
I got to get back for supper, man. Yeah, yeah.
All right, cool, man. Well,
question quickly about the attachment methods of the sticks and also the stand too. So you mentioned strap option as well as rope option.
Mm-hmm.
At the prototype stick I'm looking at right now, I can't tell exactly what that system would look like.
Yep. So and this too, this will be, so they will have a micro button. The button's not in this one obviously, but it's a micro button, like just like the Versa button but smaller. And there is actually in the new design there is a V, like I don't know what you'd call it. It wouldn't be a cleat, but it'd be like a trap, or I don't know what that, like, you know, those, like a climbing V, like inside the tube, like where you, like it cinches up and the weight down, like drives it into the teeth.
Just a kind of like a wedge.
Just like a wedge. Yeah, yeah. Wedge. So, the rope mod will be similar to a wedge. So it'll have the button, and there'll be a wedge on the backside of the stick. So you actually go around with the rope, around the button twice and then back through that wedge on the backside and then loop your tail. I mean, so that you got the pinch force of that strap going around the backside when you set it, then you loop it around again just for reassurance, then you come around the backside and go into that V. So there's a V on the backside that'll hold the rest of that rope, and then I don't know what guys do with their tails, or I don't know if you wrap it around a stick or whatever. Yeah. So that'll be like one of those options. We talked about doing something on the face, like, you know, with that whole but we wanted to make it sort of in the design as that option, and it'll be a micro rope as well. It's not like a giant 10 millimeter rope. It's a nice, you know, polyester rope, but a small, it's like, I think it's like five to six millimeter.
Nice.
It's a smaller one.
Nice.
So that'll kind of be an idea of that. And into as we get that in the next, we got the sticks back at the house that we've been testing with the rope mod and stuff, and that'll be something that we'll throw up on the site that we'll try and like cover all the bases and let people know like the benefits and stuff like that. But I do know I've heard that a lot over the years, like, dude, you need a rope mod. I hate buckles. And buckles are heavy. Like, dude, when you start, you know, I always wanted to make a micro buckle, but it'd be expensive as fuck. I mean, it, to like tool, like a, I want like a 3/4 inch buckle. Because I like the buckles, man. I like releasing them. I like how they release. I like how they swing around. I actually like the weight. I use the weight to my advantage. Mm-hmm. You know, a rope doesn't have that weight, but a rope is lighter. Yeah. You know, so it's just one of those things where, like, man, you got your – I think you got your pluses and your minuses, so it'd be nice to just give, like, give a guy an option. So that's what we're working on in that cause.
Yeah, cool. What's nice, too, is the way that sounds like it's going to be designed, a guy can – switch back and forth. It's not like you have to make a decision.
Yeah, so that's cool too. So, you know, and I was actually, what I was messing around with that I thought was pretty cool. So I never use a bottom strap, but I always keep one just in case. But I hate that bottom strap on the stand because like it's like there's nowhere to put it. It's like a pain in the ass. Like, you know,
throw it in your pocket or.
Yeah, and I hate that. Like, so when I put a strap on the stand, like the top stand, it never comes off. It stays on there. So I was messing around actually. So the rope mod for the stand being that same way, and if it's attached to the bottom of that beam, you can coil that around the bottom. Cause I only use a bottom strap if like the tree stand, if the tree is really gnarly and like that. And I'm like, okay, let me just like, you know, that's like, it's like a Widowmaker tree. Let me put that bottom strap on. But now with the rope mod on the bottom, if you're just running on the bottom, you can keep that coiled up at the bottom. You never even have to take it off unless you want. Then you just unwrap it around your base, toss it around, cinch it in, and you got that extra stability like for a secondary strap with half the weight and minimizing that buckle. So that's I was excited about that, you know, when doing that and having that be something that could just be on there all the time. So that was kind of cool. That's the –
tree stand and sticks.
Yeah, that's the tree stand.
Anything
and sticks.
Else, Garrett?
With the, can we move to one of the other products?
Yeah, I mean
I didn't know. Did you guys know we did the saddle stand too?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yep.
The saddle stand and
I actually talked with Brad quite a bit.
Oh,
today.
Good, good. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And that too, like Brad, man, that is his. It's a really cool backstory there. I don't know if you ever got it, but you know, Brad sort of like pioneered that movement. Like back in the early 90s, he was the one who patented like the platform for hunting with a saddle. It was pretty cool. And when he met the old man and seen like the, you know, his stands were all steel and stuff like that and like just stuff that he would mock up because he was hunting the big woods up north. And when he met the old man, it was like, you know, he seen that the castings and the aluminum and he's like, oh man, you know, and it was like they kind of merged and then sat down and designed that stand together and it was like their brainchild, you know, and it and this new version is essentially just like it, you know, designed in the image of that one. Yeah, so it's pretty that's pretty cool. I think a lot of people are gonna be excited.
You
gotta
put your hands on that today, right, Garrett?
Yeah.
What'd you think of it?
I mean, in a lot of ways, the platform itself was very similar. It was a little bit lighter, I believe. That was something he told me, too. I think they were trying to be around 5 pounds, which I think the old one with the buckle was like 6.5 or something like that.
Yep. That's going to be under the Lone Wolf Custom Gear brand as well.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Okay.
Some of the bigger changes that I noticed were more around the harness portion of it. Because the original Assassin harness, according to Brad, with the way that they had to do it, in order to comply with TMA, they had to make it basically test like a 6-point harness.
Yep.
He had to put the shoulder straps on, all the unnecessary stuff he really didn't need. And then there was a couple metal attachments that were fairly noisy, a little bit heavier than they needed to be. So that harness, what it was back when it was first released versus what it's going to be now, it seems like there's a lot of improvements there.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, so the platform, the stand... We've already talked about the trail camera, the arrow, right? And what else? That's it, right?
Yep. Oh, and then aside from the bow. But, I mean, that's pretty much, you know, I mean, yeah, actually the bow is, I mean, it's pretty cool. We got some patented, so just like the camera, where the camera comes with a series of, like, those overmold rubber skins, you know, that conceal it and... we have sort of the same thing going on with the bow. So we have a series of rubber grommets that are 3D, you know, bark patterned. Mm-hmm. And we'll have multiple colors, multiple styles of terrain, you know, out western, you know, western type hunting, you know, rocky terrain, early season green, you know, like a white snow camo type deal. So cool thing about the bow, it's all Darton's latest technology, but it's got those features and with our soft touch coating. That is actually like improves it dampens the bow like by like just a soft touch coating alone is like 10 to 12% in testing and not then, you know, when these bushings are applied, you know, through it, it provides uniform vibration damping through the entire bow. Mm-hmm. It essentially makes the entire bow a dampener. It's pretty cool. So, yeah, we're excited about that, and we've been shooting that this year and trying to get some more kills with the new Lobo.
Do you guys have any numbers on how much extra the extra little spacers add? How much extra
dampening? So we don't have the final numbers on that yet. We know the basic soft touch is 10 to 12% more effective in dampening. We're doing a test right now, actually, on to get the final numbers on the complete unit of the grommets. But I know a lot of guys are like, oh, well, what about the weight? Well, actually, it's really, I mean, the overall weight with the grommets installed on the bow is like just under 4.5 pounds. So it's really, it's not that crazy. I think the base weight on that bow is like 4.1 or something like that.
What do you have a brace height?
Yeah, 6-inch brace height.
Is that available now? Is it available? When's that going to be available?
Oh yeah, that'll be available in a couple weeks. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Gotcha. What do you, any IBO numbers?
Oh, you can dude, share man, with you're killing me. I'm not a bow nerd, man. That's Dad's forte, man. And he's not a bow nerd either. But I was dreading this part. I was like, oh shit, don't ask me. Don't ask me any numbers about the bow.
It's all on the website.
Yeah,
right?
You can go to the website. We got all the specs, and there's a link too to Darton's page, and you can kind of get like the breakdown on their new stuff for 2019.
All right, so the last thing, and we talked about this on the podcast that we just recorded before this podcast, was the arrow, right? So you got an arrow, right? It's basically a standard arrow, but you got an end, you got a little attachment on the end and a little attachment on the head, the start of the arrow. Shit, I don't even know.
Is it the point? What is it?
Yeah, the front end and the back end of the arrow. Describe what those parts are and what they do.
Okay, so these would be a series of inserts, and they are designed. It's a patented venting system that essentially allows your arrow to siphon blood out of the animal in a way. So we call them IV inserts. We thought it was kind of a catchy name because the fact that it helps draw blood or whatnot. But so the way it works is actually. Obviously your arrow's hollow. Up front by the broadhead, there's a series of flutes or ribs, if you will, and there's vent channels specifically angled down to accept the flow of liquid. The arrow fills with liquid and shoots out the nock end. Mm-hmm. Where this becomes extremely effective is like any arrow that you don't get a pass through but ends up in the chest cavity. The pressure in there in the amount of blood, it's a cool thing to see, the actual push of blood through there, especially you think when a deer's heart rate elevates and starts running and goes on that death run, and he's just, think of all that shit just pumping and moving in there. And if you got that arrow in the right place, it can put out some serious blood. Not that we're promoting not pass-throughs, but like we talked about before, everybody's been in that situation where you get that bad hit and you just need that little extra blood. So that was the idea behind this. A simple arrow or a hole in the front, hole in the back wouldn't do the job, you know? So we were thinking, that would just get plugged up if it was lodged in a shoulder or a neck. So we implemented those flutes, the flutes that actually hold the meat away from the holes, allowing it to still suck that blood or get that blood in there and pass through the arrow, even if it's just a little bit, you know, depending on where your hit is. And then like we talked at the show a little bit, we did this and we started field testing it, because obviously we wanted to make sure these things didn't make noise. They shot good, so we started shooting different stuff and different broadheads and all these different configurations. And it turned out the arrows were actually shooting flatter and penetrating more. Mm-hmm. I'm shooting this at the target, with my buddy, and my arrow is driving through the entire target. And I got a 27 inch draw length. He's got a 31. He's shooting more pounded. It was just weird. We're like, what the hell is happening? So we sent these things to testing. We started getting some testing done on these in I don't know if you'd call them labs, testing facilities, you know. I want to make them sound cool. But so they started testing these, you know, and then we started researching some aerospace type shit, or I don't know what it is exactly, or the name. I don't want to sound like an idiot, but I don't know what it is. But so essentially what we found out is why this was happening is those flutes on the front of the aero, actually, you know, when the aero is spinning in flight, they're acting as a vortex generator. And I guess this stuff is pretty common in like this, in like turbines and all this stuff. So like, you know, as to one of these people seeing it and they're like, oh, well, you got a vortex generator right there. And we're like, well, what the fuck's a vortex generator? You know? And he's like, so it was just one of those deals.
Does it help me kill deer? Yep. Okay.
Yeah, right. Okay. I'll take one. But yeah, so what it's essentially doing is it's cutting a hole like in the atmosphere or whatever, or as it's flying through, and those flutes are like shooting air out of that path, and it's minimizing the drag significantly on the rest of the aero. So it's essentially busting open a space and creating a easier resistant flight pattern for the remaining side of the aero, and letting like the fletchings and the vanes like essentially do their job better or stay on track better. And because you have this, you get flatter shooting at longer distances and deeper penetration, which is it's weird because it sort of defies like physics in a way. Like, you know, how could a heavier arrow, because these things do have extra weight, how could a heavier arrow shoot flatter and penetrate deeper at farther distances? It's like, so it's just a weird kind of,
and you stumbled upon this on accident.
Yeah, I'm not, yeah. We going back and forth and dad developing this and working with like the, you know, making sure like, okay, well, we need the vents and this way and the flutes this way, and you know, this will look cool, like fucking, you know, like yeah. all this sort of stuff, and it just sort of fell together, you know, and it ended up being pretty cool. So not only is it an IV insert now it's a vortex generator as well. So it's just one of those deals. But
that's pretty cool. I mean, hey, you'll take it, right?
Yeah. That's like somebody was like, oh dude, he's like that's pretty cool, like how'd you think? I'm like, dude, I didn't think of that. I'm like, what the hell are you? What the hell do I know about?
You know what's going to happen. Yeah. Like another aero company is going to hear this, and they're going to say, yeah, well, we're going to put a vortex generator in our aero too.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's where we hope the patent holds up.
Yeah. Well, so, and it's not like the – so, like, to explain your point, I think, a little bit further, two arrows of the same mass leaving the bow, one has your system, one – leaving the bow, they're going to be the same, right? But downrange, you're going to retain more. It's going to slow down.
Exactly. Yep, exactly. So it's actually going to – that's where it gets the drive downrange, because all that drag is slowing up the arrow without that, mm-hmm. to whereas the heavier arrow – well, I guess if they were the same, even with the accommodation of the inserts, yeah, it's actually busting – it's busting up that drag and letting that sail through, or so it's – sail through easier, yeah.
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 That's crazy.
Man, I need to get him in the booth because he can explain it better than I can. He's like, so if, yeah, this is, I got to remember that for tomorrow.
Yeah.
One thing that stood out to me when I saw the initial shape, I was like, man, that thing's bigger than the ferrule of the broadhead. And I looked a little bit closer and it looks like it ramps up. Have you guys done any testing where you guys hit deer in the shoulders?
Yeah. So we've actually, it's, I think we've shot a few deer in the shoulder this year. I don't like doing it, but it's like one of those things where like, okay, we're testing this thing. And a lot of what we were really trying to do is get obviously through. Now, we didn't get a smack dab shoulder shot, but we've been shooting into brick walls and yeah. wood and that sort of testing. But as far as our main testing on the deer is trying to, you know, trying to mimic that situation of an arrow in the chest cavity with, you know, a non-pass-through. And dad, the first buck he shot was actually like, dude, it worked out perfect. He came in quartering two, put that thing like, you know, if you drew a line on that crease between the shoulder and the neck, mm-hmm. just drove it right in there. I mean, and you had about probably a good, I don't know, 2 feet arrow hanging out. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you went down there and it was like a 10-foot circle when that deer turned around and ran of splatter of blood in a complete like circle,
yeah.
and then it ran away, and it was pretty cool to see. And that was like optimal, man. Like the thing just it settled right in through all that. And he don't shoot that much. He only shoots 50 pounds, so
yeah.
Getting in that range is like you know, it ended up like being perfect.
Cool. So did any of it hit in pass through bone?
No, he missed the bone. Like it, I think it went through like that blade, that front blade, mm-hmm. or not the blade, but like that the quarter. Like yeah. I think it just drove through the quarter.
Just a real whole bunch of meat.
That yep. Just hit a bunch of meat and just lodged in there perfectly. That was
so. Was any of this testing done with? Were they? I mean, did you use both fixed blades and mechanicals?
Yeah, so a lot of the testing we're doing right now, we were doing primarily fixed blade in the field.
Yeah.
They've been screwing mechanicals on them and shooting them and stuff like that and just making sure nothing is obviously wonky with that. But we don't shoot mechanicals personally, so we weren't doing any field testing. So that's where, like, now it's time to really start killing some stuff.
Yeah. So no noise.
Nope, no noise. Huh. Dude,
I thought it would be like a whistle going down.
Well, the first thing when we started talking about this, I'm like, that thing's going to make noise.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, fuck it, whatever. We'll just put some sort of dissolving coating on that. And, you know, I mean, well, right? Why not? Why not a piece of fucking tissue paper that dissolves when blood hits it? Like, fuck it. We can get around that. We don't need, you know. So, but then, you know, to my surprise, we started shooting it, and it fucking don't make any noise at all. It's weird. It's like, I'm telling you, man, I think we hit it. Like, those flutes being drafted a certain way. Like, if you even look in there, it's not just a hole. Like, it's not like we fucking barbarically drilled a hole in there. It's like a fluted vent that, like, jets, you know. And so, like, as the arrow hits, it's, like, for optimal, like, flow of liquid, you know. So we didn't want any resistance. So it's
vortex generator.
Fuck it. Vortex generator.
Vortex generator.
Yeah.
Man, that's crazy. New company, new products, lots of thought and design that's gone into them. Anything else that you can think of? Any questions that you want to ask them, Garrett?
I think the pricing thing is going to come out, or it's going to be on the website when it's ready.
Yeah.
As far as timing for all the various things, oh, and I do have one more question about the trail camera, but as far as timing of all the various things, are they going to be available for sale at the same time, or are some things probably going to come out earlier than others? And when do you think that's going to happen?
We're really going to try and get them all at once. Now, the bow will be available like very shortly, probably in just a couple weeks.
Yeah.
But as far as like the stands and sticks, being that like we want to offer these as a system, like we're going to make sure we get like everything dialed down, like with the backpacks and stuff like that. So we're going to try and release all those, at the same time, which we're hoping really to capitalize on some of the spring consumer shows. So, I would think I'm really hoping for like that March time.
Okay.
So that's what we can kind of shoot for. As far as like the arrows and stuff go, that'll be way sooner. Arrows, bows, cameras will probably be February. But like the stands and sticks will probably be March. And then to be on the safe side with the saddle platform, because we would love to have a saddle to go with it. We are contemplating holding that back for a July release, like a summertime release. So, but it could still be spring. So that one's kind of, but like to your point, we want to do it in groups. Like, so we want to make sure that the stand is available with the sticks, and that the assassin's available with the harness, and then you can also like get the mini sticks with that and stuff too. But and then the bows and arrows at the same time, and cameras, and then the accessory skins and whatnot.
Gotcha. You had a trail camera question.
So one thing your dad said at the booth today was that the camera has a zoom function in it. Is that a digital zoom, or does it actually do an optical zoom inside the camera?
It's a digital zoom, I believe. Yep, because it's like a setting. So you can go in there, and then under like the aim feature, I'm sure he talked to you about that with the aim feature where it.
I didn't get the feedback, the input on the but you did, right? Yeah. On the trail camera.
You said there'd be an app that you'd be able to kind of look at live and be able to.
Yeah, yep. So you can operate it normally, but you can also operate it from the undercover app. And so what that does is we have a there's an aim screen on there to where you can look exactly where the camera's seeing. So you don't have to send Dan out there to wave his arms in the fucking air or reach over and get blinded by a laser that shoots you in the eye. So you can look at your phone, turn your camera, and when you use that optical or that digital zoom or whatever to power in closer, as you're using that, you know, so the camera knows exactly your optimal like cone, like for grasping a picture. So it gives you a target point right on that screen. So it's real easy to just, you know, if there's a scrape, boom, put that red dot right on the scrape. You know, so very easy to aim, very easy to arm. You know, with that app too, there's pretty cool things like prime time detection. So what that does is it takes all the data from your camera every time you arm it, every time you format a card, like it restarts. Mm-hmm. It takes all the data and it actually spits you out a graph of the prime times of a 24-hour period. So
it's got software built into this app.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So there's a – and this – and you can do this without even the SD card. This is built into the camera.
Yeah.
So if you plan on running it without the app, when you pull that card out and you put it in the computer, it'll look like a textile of picture, but it'll be your info. You click that, and it shows you a graph. So on October 6th at 9 a.m. and 10 p.m., it pings at those two times. You get red hot. So it's like that's
more,
your prime.
More movement.
More movement. More pictures were taken. Now, if a squirrel's sitting there for fucking 3 hours, I mean, you would
then
get
you're
more.
Then you're hunting squirrels.
Then you're hunting. Good call. So that's kind of cool. That's a cool feature about the app, like things like that. But you can also run it. You know, you don't have to log in, but you can Wi-Fi retrieve pictures. You can save hunt maps in there. You can create buck profiles. You can make notes like for your camera location that's saved in your map. Like, hey, this buck bedded here on a southeast wind. Like, you know, so there's options for that. You know, I got a buck called Byron on mine right now. Like, I just he's like this little forkhorn that's been coming to a spot. No, but it's cool because you can flip over, because I've always wanted a basic hunting app too.
Yeah,
like. You know, I use the Onyx and I use some of the stuff, but like it, nothing. I just want something basic, man. I want to be able to save my property. I don't want it highlighted in a color that I can't see. Mm-hmm. And like, I want to be able to like save a couple different things. And so we put a map function in there.
Yeah.
And we're going to try and continuously update that to just be a very simple, like, if I want to make a pin, I'm not limited to what it is. I can name it whatever I want. I can save this as stands. This is cameras.
Yeah.
You can even save your buck profiles to specific pins on your map. So I look forward to using that a little bit more. So that's kind of a cool feature. But,
Will those be offered in cell versions too?
Yes. So I realized that, yeah, we're probably a little bit behind the time not having a cell this year, but we will probably have one for like next hunting season. Like, yeah. So, I mean, we're really trying to get on the ball with that right away. There won't be a whole lot of development to go in it because we accommodated for that already with our housing. So, yes, we will have a cell model in the near future.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, a lot of things in a short period of time, man.
Yeah. Yep.
You tired?
I am tired. I am. Do I look tired? No. Yeah. I'm beat.
Well, that's awesome, man. Website. What's the website?
www.lonewolfcustomgear.com.
All right. So all the information's there. The website is up and running.
I believe it is up today. Yes. Okay. And like I said, too, you know, give us a little bit of time. We're going to keep flooding that thing with more information and more specs. And we wanted to get something up there for guys to see the products, to get the basic specs. But like I said, I really want to dive in, do individual videos on these features, really show people. So, because there's, you know, be patient with that. And there's a lot more information to come.
All right. You good, Garrett?
Yep, I'm good.
All right, man. Hey, I really appreciate you coming and talking about the new company and all the products and whatnot. So, man, thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it, Dan. Thanks for having me on.